us, move us. God, that your presence would be made obvious. We can declare as Jacob declared, surely the Lord is in this place. We don't want to be like Jacob, Lord, in one sense that we don't want to miss you. We don't want to have to say that you were here and we knew it not. We want to testify that we were with you. We felt you. And we responded with our amens and our hallelujahs. Our glory to God. Come in this place, Lord. From, Lord, the furthest pew throughout the pulpit, on every door and every window seat, chandeliers to the floor, move in this place. Let us hear your voice and obey your commands. Lift someone today. Change their status from lost to found, from blind to seeing, from deaf to hearing. Change their status, not just today, but forevermore, that the world will know we have been with you. Let our light shine. Let our gifts be precious. Move in this place. Change the hearts and minds of even the contrary ones, that the devil will have no victory. All the glory be yours. Come, Lord Jesus. You're welcome in this room. The redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Give God some praise. Put your hands together. Come on, put your hands together. Come on, that ain't everybody. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Look at your name and say, you breathing, aren't you? Come on and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles. It's a good time to hear a word. Amen. Amen. Told them in Christian Academy this morning, we went over our time a little bit, Dr. Corbett. The lesson was going along extremely well, and I told them then, and I'm going to tell you now, that ain't going to slow down the preaching time. Amen. We came to have church. Amen. Amen. When I go to a restaurant, I don't leave till I eat all my food. Amen. I'm not sending nothing back. And I don't want no doggy bag, because if you carry it home, you ain't going to eat it anyway. I'm going to sit right there till I finish. So when I come to church, I ain't leaving till I get all my food. Amen. 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 And some of you say, well, Reverend, we don't eat as much as you. Well, watch me eat. Amen. In the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter, so good to see all y'all. Bless you. God bless you. Just love you so much. Appreciate you for all that you are and all you're going to become. John chapter 15, verse 5 is where I'm going. I'm in a hurry. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 5. Verse 5 says, in the New Living Translation, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. God bless you. You may be seated in the awesome presence of the Lord. Amen. While you're getting comfortable, fix a little smile on your face. Ushers, y'all can rest. Thank you so much. Our young people serving today along with our adults. Thank you. While you're getting comfortable, put a smile on your face and look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor is going to tell us. He makes me matter. Amen. He makes me matter. I am, I'm just so thankful to be in church on Sunday. I'm just so thankful that I'm not here by myself and that all of you are here. And again, on these third Sundays, it's just always a blessing to have Dr. Corbett and Lady Corbett come all the way down. Yes, amen. And I'm just so thankful that their family, they got the boys with them. And I just thank God for Reverend Tucker coming all the way from Maryland to be with us. They can go to any church. You know, it's a blessing when other preachers will come in church with you. And Dr. Corbett passed a lot of churches from where he lives to where he is right now. And that's just a blessing to me. And he wants to be a part of our family, and he brings his family. And for Lady Corbett to consent to doing so, because she could drive her own car and go where she want to go. And we just thank God. And then to see Reverend Tucker with us so often. And I said when years ago I told you God was going to spread us out all over the place. And I see God doing that in those simple examples like that. And the reason I'm saying that, it's not in the note, but it ties into what I wanted to preach. And week before last, Dr. Corbett, when we were preaching, we talked about joining the team. And part of what I have intended to preach last Sunday, I wrestled with whether or not I would, you know, go with that or go with something else. But the Holy Spirit led me to understand that it's the right thing to do, to go ahead with what I was going to go ahead with. And so part of what we want to talk about, Dick McKenzie, today is the follow-up from joining the team. And what I'm going to intend to talk to you about for the next few minutes is that the Lord is what makes you matter. You'll get it. Part of our faith development hinges on understanding who you are, not in your own estimation, but how God sees you. See, because when God blesses you, he doesn't bless you according to you. He blesses you according to him. That's an early shout right there. I am most grateful that the God who loves me is greater than my understanding of him. Let me show you. Sister Ava, those are your boys, and you got one more, but you wouldn't have them ask their daddy for something you didn't know he was capable of giving them. But sons, can you testify that there have been times when he surprised you and gave you more than you expected? And it wasn't because of you being his son, but because he was your father. Okay, some of y'all are jealous because I didn't pick your family. Okay, I'm going to pick your children. You have to understand that what Jesus said is because of who his father is. And because of who his father is, he gives Jesus the authority to say it. Jesus says, being a part of me makes you matter. It's right there in the text. He said, listen, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Whatever you is, is cause of who I am. And some of us have been maligned and unappreciated and relegated to lesser than because people don't understand the God that you serve. They look at you and only see you. But God said before any of them see you, they would do well to see me. That's why we're covered by the blood of God. You are more than you imagine. You're greater than you've even accomplished because you join the team. And God makes you matter. Nudge your neighbor and say, I'm starting to like this myself. See, all of us have been lied to at one time or another by even folk who love us. As it relates to, watch this, our purpose, our position, and our promise according to God. People put limits on you because that's all they can do. People say you can't go but so far because that's far they've been. People say you can't know but so much because that's all they know. People say you can accomplish only so much because that's all they know to be accomplished. But the God you serve says the eye hath not seen and the ear hath not heard and it hath not entered into the hearts of your pastor, your deacon, your trustee, your husband, your wife, those things that God has in store. Nudge your neighbor and say, there's a storage place. I love that about God, Deacon Antrim, that everything I see ain't all I'm going to have. There's a storage place. Let me see if I can make this come alive, Sister Roy. How many of y'all have ever looked in the pantry or the refrigerator and noticed some deficiencies? You say, Lord, honey, I'm out of eggs. Child, ain't no milk in here. But what do? You go to the storage place. There's a place where God got groceries with your name on it. There's a place where God got grace with your name on it. There's a place where God got greater glory with your name on it. Once you recognize what you don't have, God says, come to the storage place. Come buy without cost. Come eat and not have to worry about it because I got it like that. God says, I want you to realize that I'm the vine. You're the branches. But I'm going to make you matter. I'm going to make you significant because you're mine. That's why the Bible reminds us that God has put gifts in us. Amen. I thought about it. I looked at it. Dr. Dixon, and I said, well, some folk gonna come to church today waiting on their Christmas sermon. I'm just fresh out a Christmas sermon. First of all, you don't need another Christmas sermon. Y'all gonna do Christmas whether I preach about it or not. I've figured that out. But the reality is, the best gift I can give you, watch this, is to help you recognize the gift that you already are. Some of y'all, I'm almost there, I'm halfway down here. Some of y'all going to be bent out of shape Christmas morning. And all day, and for the next few days thereafter. Because somebody didn't get you what you thought you deserved. Some of y'all gonna have marital problems. Y'all seen that commercial? Deacon Walker, there's a commercial running right now. I think one of them jewelry stores, husband and wife sitting on the couch, and she opened up this box, and it's a salad set. You know, little box that says salad set. And she tried to look like she's just so happy to have a salad set. And he's sitting there because he know the real deal. And finally, she opens up, and then there's a little jewelry thing in there. Women love jewelry. And he got that look on his face like, oh, yeah, I got you that time. And some of us who really bought that salad set, you're going to have a problem. Some of y'all thought, y'all seen the other commercial with the dude that bought the jersey for Heidi? Got all the sparkly things on the little pink jersey with all them rhinestones. And the dudes are like, no. Brothers, there are 5 famous words that will help any brother. This is a bonus for the brothers. He went to Jared. You get that part right. Homeboy, you in like Flint. But some of us gonna be upset because we don't get what we think we're worthy of. And I need you to understand, your life is more than any box, any gift, any surprise, because you matter. And he, God, is what makes you matter. I don't have to have nothing else from a man. I have realized that the greatest estimation of my life is ecclesiastical understanding. The better I understand who I am to God, the greater is my joy. No thing on this earth makes me more valuable than the word of God. Some of y'all ain't with that. I see y'all thinking, no, Rem, you ain't gonna get me off my Christmas mule. But see, stuff don't make you matter. Because when you lose your stuff, you're gonna still have God. But when you lose friends and prestige, you'll still have God. He said, I recognize and will put you on notice that your mother and father might forsake you, but I'm going to be right there. I will always stay with you. He said, listen, abide with me. Me and the Father abiding. We talk about abiding in too casual of a term, because abiding is relationship without regret. God, I want to stay right there for a minute, because some of us have had relationship and it only brought regret. I'll let some of y'all work on that therapeutically. Because there are some people who come into our lives that we found out to them we really don't matter. We found out that they came because we had something. And when what we had was no more, in the words of Bobby Womack, as he sung about his friend Harry Hippie, nobody wants you when you're down and out. No, nobody cares when you're sleeping out on the ground. In the words of the OJs, where are all my friends? I used to have lots of money. Drive a big fine Cadillac, and when my money was gone,
yes, sir.
You have more value to God than you will ever have with man. You matter to God so much so, watch this, that the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And if you ever understand how much you mean to God, you will shout with the voice of triumph, whether you got money or no money, whether you got a house or no house, whether you got a car or no car, because your value is in God. God makes you matter. You don't have to marry into the right family. You don't have to work the right job. You don't have to have a certain income status. In the words of Grandma, as long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. He makes you matter. You need to hold your head up. That's why the Bible says, be ye lifted up. You have more value than you can ever imagine. They asked Jesus about eating, about food, shelter. So he said, listen, I've got stuff y'all don't know nothing about. Because if your value is only what you can carry in your hands, what is that really worth? He said, abide, stay with me. Parable is so simple. It's just about relationship. Many of us in the Christian church don't really understand abiding. Jesus helps us to understand. He said, listen, it's a connection of vine and branches. You know what I love about the gospel? It's so simple. Some of y'all sitting there looking at me with that faraway look in your eyes. It's so simple. He said, the Father and I are one. Be one with us. Jesus said, listen, if you love me, you'll want to be with me. Let me see if I can back this up a little bit. You remember when you fell in love? The crazy things you did? Some of y'all ain't never been in love. You remember when people who were in love told you about being in love? How you just had to be with him or her? You remember, y'all don't forgot that? You just got married. You all remember. Help me. I mean, you couldn't stand 5 minutes away. How many of y'all remember just holding the phone and saying nothing? Just breathing away minutes. Sitting there on the sofa, or the settee if you were, looking at each other. Parents said, ain't time you'd be going home? No, ma'am. Don't you have something else to do? No, ma'am. You have such a different attitude about abiding. You see each other in school, you ride the bus home, you can't wait to put your books down and go, well, whether they carry books or not, laptop, tablet, and you got to be together. You walk together and you drink out the same cup and you eat off the same plate. You go in a restaurant and both of y'all sit on the same side in the booth. Now, those of us who've been married a while know that kind of foolishness is just so unnecessary. I mean, come on, once you're married, what are we going to do now? Fellas, I didn't help y'all none right there. I'm just so sorry. I might not have helped myself, to be honest with you. But Jesus says that this kind of relationship is what makes you matter. You remember, he loved me not. See, because you matter, and no matter how anybody else treated you, you knew there was one somebody that was going to go all out because they love you. Jesus says, it's this simple. I'm the vine. You're the branches. And branches without a vine ain't no good. Love drives us to abiding. Just want to be with the Lord. It teaches us, and we're about there now, it teaches us the divine nature of being nurtured by the divine. Y'all missed that. It teaches us that there is a union that is unbreakable. Because if, in fact, the branches die, the vine shall die as well. Jesus loves us so much that he says, not only do I need you to exist, you need me to exist, but we need each other. That's why he calls us and commissions us and cares for us. He says, just like my daddy and I are inseparable, so is it between you and I. That's why he says, I will give my life so that you can have life. Some of us don't know where the shout goes. It goes right there. Because God says, I love you first. Before you thought to love him, he loved you. When you were still doing what you do, when you did what you did, when you were where you were, when you said you wasn't there, he still loved you. Before you got in the choir and sang your solo, before you preached your first sermon or prayed your first prayer, before you stood to count his money, God said, that's mine, and told the devil, touch not my anointed. Leave my children alone. How many of you have ever had to raise up for your children? How many of y'all done gone down to that schoolhouse and set some business straight? How many of you grown folk, your children are in their 20s, 30s, or whatever, and when they start telling you about troubles or difficulties, you want to go on their job and straighten it out. They say, Mama, I'm 35. You can't come on my job. And they need to know who they're dealing with. Amen. Because that's mine. What do you mean they treating you bad down there? Me and your daddy will come down there always dragging us in and stuff. Me and your daddy will come down there. Mama, you can't come down there. Them folk don't want to hear what you got to say. Oh, yes, they will. And the Bible says, if earthly parents feel that way about their children, how much more? Do you think your father, God, will come through hell and high water because you matter? Don't you let nobody steal your joy. Don't let nobody talk you know any kind of way. You are precious in the sight of God. Wonderfully made. Nudge your name, Tim. That's why I got it like that. God makes you matter. Even when you don't want to matter. Why art thou downcast? Sometimes you feel kind of bad within yourself. But God says, lift up thine eyes. Look to the hills. Your help is on the way. I'll bring you joy. I'll bring you peace. I'll bring you your hallelujah. I'll put back what the devil stole because you belong to me. Some of us don't know when to shout, but God did it. Jesus says, these are mine. Looks at the Father on report day and say, I haven't lost not one of them. Look at your name and say, you still in there. Grandmother used to tell us, as long as you're breathing, you got a chance. As long as you breathe, you may not be breathing with such regularity as you once did. I was messing around the other night, me and Adrian, down there in the basement, you know. Dr. Corb, you know, every now and then you had to let your children know. I'm sure you had to do it with the boy that you still the big man. You know, they're a little young, a little fast. So he going to look at me. Try to tell me about it. He faster than me and he can outrun me and I can't catch him. I say, okay, try me. So we down in the basement, you know, and got a little room to romp down there. And so round and round we going. We just running. We running. And so I figured it out, Deacon Anderson. I wasn't really catching him, so I jumped over the sofa. Shortcut. He said, you can't do that. I said, oh, yes, I can. Because I'm the man. I got to do what I got to do. I caught him and got him down for a minute. He got up and ran off, and I was glad he did because I needed to catch my breath. He left thinking he had victory. I left thinking, God, I shall live. And I was tired. But I recognize the power of God in everything. God reminds us that as a father, I'll always be a father. You are so important to God that he thought it not robbery to make his son look like us and us look like him. Jesus suffered so you and I can learn that suffering don't mean death. Jesus went through trials and tribulations so you and I can learn that trouble don't last always. Just stay in relationship. And he says that you are the most important thing. There's an old nursery rhyme program. I can't remember. It was on one of them Scholastic Rock or somebody, one of them Sesame Street somewhere. But there used to be a little ditty they do in there that says, the most important person in the whole wide world is you, and you hardly even know you. The most important person. Okay, so y'all didn't have TVs. Y'all, no, I didn't see that but me. You were singing it with me. How you didn't see it? You going to leave me out here by myself? I appreciate that. But my point is, you are so important to God. And that's why you're still here. That's why you are in this church. Despite or in spite of all of the secrets, the shame, the sorrow, the setbacks, you're still here. It ain't because you get everything right. Those of us who are still getting it wrong ought to be shouting the most. Because we recognize that if God keeps me in my messed up state, what kind of life will I live if I ever get it halfway right? I got to leave y'all alone. Some of y'all look tired. Jesus says, we need each other. What good is a Christ without a church? And what value is a church without a Christ? My mother taught me this one, and we'll go on. Feel my tiredness coming. Little boy, she used to teach us this, said, this is the church, this is the steeple. Open the door and see the people. A simple little thing. But we're the people. God has made us a little lower than angels. But we matter. And don't you ever underestimate the ecclesiastical value of your existence. Paul figured it out, Reverend Tucker. He said, in him we live, move, and have our being. Nudge your name to him. I told you I'm here for a reason. I exist because before the foundation of the world, God picked my mama to have me on that day. God picked my daddy to meet my mama so they could have me on that day. God picked my mama to meet my daddy so my brothers and sisters could meet me on that day. God picked my daddy to meet my mama so you can sit next to me on this day. We are all in this thing together because God said, I love my children. And every one of you is precious in the sight of God. You are a jewel among other jewels, but you matter. So you don't walk around here with your head hung down because you don't have whatever. I can tell you right now, ain't none of us got all of it. What difference does it make to abide with him? It makes all the difference. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. God makes me matter. So no matter how raggedy it is, no matter how broke down or insufficient, it matters. Because God loves you, gave his only son for you. Jesus died for you, and 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 you, 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 you. Everybody in here can be listed on his certificate of death as the cause of death. Because you matter. Greater love has no man that he would lay down his life. And that's why that old songwriter nailed it on the head. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fears are gone. Because I matter. I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to brush my teeth, wash my face, comb my hair. I'm going to get back out there. Because I matter. I'm going to keep loving even when I ain't loved. I'm going to keep giving even when I'm not receiving. I'm going to keep serving even when they're not grateful. I'm going to keep on keeping on. Because greater is he that is in me. He makes me matter. They got a little thing now. We're going to go. Those of you got your smartphones. Where all them smartphone people at? Get your little smartphone out. Get your little smartphone. They got a little thing they do now called a selfie. Y'all know what a selfie is, right? Those of you who are not hip and still got a flip phone. A selfie is when you take a picture of yourself. So here and now, so we'll know that he makes you matter. Go to your camera mode. Get your little phone. Come on, some of y'all, they own. Don't act like they ain't been on. Take it off vibrator, whatever you have to do. But go to your little camera mode and flip the little thing. There's a little switch on there where you have camera. You can make it take a picture as you look at it. Take your selfie and save that. There you go. I heard a couple of clicks. Because he makes you matter. If nobody else don't see the value of who you are, keep your little selfie. And when you're having one of them moments and folk have devalued you and underestimated you, go to your little file, pull up your selfie, and say, oh, I remember that day. That's when I realized that he makes me matter. So if your boss, your husband, friend, neighbor, cousin, kinfolk don't bless you like you want to be blessed, don't give you what you think you ought to get, you just remember this. He is the vine. You're the branches. It's him that makes you matter. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, You got the best he had to give. And what I love about God giving, he never runs out. Ain't no shortage. Sister McKenzie told us that about 3 years ago when they were going through the crisis in America, talking about economic downturn. She spoke as a prophetess. She didn't probably know the power of what her words meant to us in that moment. But there is no recession in heaven. Never has been. Never will be. You're so important to God. You leave here today and just remember that God makes you matter. Your food gonna taste different. That old huckabuck gonna ride a little better. Them old creaking floors and windows that don't seal up tight gonna all feel a lot different. Because it's not about what's around you. It's about who's in you. The most valuable resource in your life is not the job you work, the man or woman you're married to, the children. It's God. I can do all things through Christ. He strengthens me. And why does he do it? Because I matter. He loves you. Just like you are. What? Yeah, just like you are. Nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, I can't tell my whole story. There's some chapters that are not quite complete. There's some revisions I need to make before I go public. But God knows, and he still loves you. Anybody ever been so jacked up that you were scared to go to sleep for fear you wouldn't wake up in the morning? Anybody ever committed that sin that you know this has got to be the last straw? God got to be fed up with me because I'm fed up with myself. I see four hands. We can't be the only ones, but if we are, then we're honest. There's some more hands joining us. Y'all ain't got y'all as high as we got ours, but you know. Thank you. But you matter. We're getting ready to go. But I want to tell you one more thing before you go. Be assured of this one thing. If you don't hear nothing else I say, hear me this and hear me well. Your sins are forgiven. Yes, sir. If you don't realize that I was trying to help you understand how valuable you are and how much you matter, your sins are forgiven. I'm not just talking to the preachers on the front pew, the deacons. I'm talking to all of you. Folk have a way of going out saying what the Reverend said. Well, tell them I said that. That your sins are forgiven. You got a clean slate as of 1300 hours and 12 minutes thereafter. Your sins are forgiven. Well, Reverend, how can we be assured of such proclamation? You're alive, ain't you? Because the scripture declares that the wages of sin is death. So if you had not been forgiven at 1,312 hours thereafter, 12 minutes thereafter, you'd be dead. So, Reverend, are you declaring that all who have died, died due to sin? I am not. Many have died and shall see the glory of the Lord. I am convinced that God makes me mad. Stand on your feet, children of God. 12 minutes after the hour. Now 13 and counting. Nehemiah was in the midst of a great work. some of the counselors came to sit down and talk with him. He said, you know, all the stuff we've been doing around here, and you know, they got the wall going and communities were being revitalized. You know, they were doing urban renewal and everything was going on. And some were still concerned about the confrontation that could come from without as well as within. And Nehemiah said, listen, if there is a consolation of confidence that I can give you, that you can face your confrontations and be committed even unto death, know well this, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Because God makes us happy. It makes us strong. And I want to encourage you, standing on your feet, feeling like you feel, to know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Because you matter. Never, ever again walk around with your head in the locks of your shoulders, dragging your feet, wearing out good shoes, because what somebody say. When folks say stuff to you that's not proper, get a little slang, a little street thing. Tell them, you don't know me like that. I want to be known as I'm known of God. That's what the scriptures say. Whose report are you going to believe? We shall believe. And listen attentively for the report of the Lord. You matter. If you're standing here today and you've not accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, you need to come and abide with him. You don't need to join this church. You need to join Christ. The Father and the Son are one. He opens up the doors and says, come and be one with us. One of my favorite invitations is the simple, whosoever will. In the military, they have standards, fraternities, sororities. They only take a few. You know, the Marines say they want a few good men. The Army used to say that you could be all you can be. Air Force used to say aim high. Coast Guard say all that they won't take, we'll take. But the reality is, Jesus says, come. We'll take you. You don't pass the tests with those organizations, auxiliaries, and agencies. We'll take you. And we don't turn down nobody. It's a free for all. You matter. Even in your struggles, addictions, proclivities, vices, you still matter. And God will take you. How many of y'all have ever been fishing? You know what you do with fish. You catch them and you clean them. Nobody don't fry no fish right out the ocean. If you do, you'll never have another fish fry in your life. Ain't nobody gonna come eat no fish with you and you don't clean them. How many of y'all, when you go eat folk food, you check and see how clean it is? Some of us ain't gonna never eat somebody's chitlins. Some of us don't eat everybody fried chicken. Anything that requires detailed cleaning, we are very particular about whether we eat that or not. That's why when we get you in the church, we just clean them up. How many of y'all can testify that you didn't come in as clean as you are now? God made us clean. I don't want to ask part two and ask how many more got a little more cleaning to do. We'll save that for later. Amen. But our doors are open to Christian discipleship. If you'll just come to him that knows how much you matter while you're standing here. If there's one today, 16 minutes after the hour, I know you're ready to go. Would you come? I sure wish I could have preached like I felt, but my health won't let me yet. But I got something in the bag. Yes, sir. Come back here next Sunday. I'm going to be done shook off my ailments. I'll be ready. Amen. If you're here today, can you do me a little favor? Next Sunday morning, would you kind of make some time to join us at 9:30 for Christian Academy? I believe what we're teaching right now is going to help some of us in ways that you can only imagine. I really feel led to make this emphasis on being one with God and helping you to understand how valuable you are. It's so critical now that we have a relationship with the Lord. I really believe the days are drawing near. So much is happening that don't make no sense. I see the hand of God ushering us to get on board. You go down and ride the train. The old conductor stands outside. They still do it. Anybody rode a train lately? You know they still do that. All aboard. That's cool, man. I hear the Lord saying that. I hear him declaring all aboard. And you can get on board. You don't have to wait. You can do it right now. Is there one? If you're looking for a church home, our doors are open. Maybe you've already given your life to Christ. You're new in the area. Just looking for a church. It's going to help you to know your value and help you to be a part of a thriving ministry. Our doors are open to you. We've been waiting for you. We've been waiting for your help. We've been waiting for your prayers. Our doors are open to Christian discipleship. We want you to be a part of what we are because you bring another part to what we are. Would you come? God bless you. Our prayer time is valuable to us. I've always said that the more time you pray, the more power you'll have when you perform. The more you pray, the greater your power. The Bible says he hears and answers our prayers. I just believe today that God wants to bless us with new blessings. In this season of liberality and joy and overflow, Christmas makes us do things. You know, we get this time of the year, and again, we're smiling a little more and giving a little more and a little more tolerant. We swiping and writing and borrowing. Sometimes we go over the limit because it depends on who we're doing it for. Some of us start out with a budget and we done blowed the budget out the water because we kept thinking of somebody else to be nice to. Well, you know, if that's what you do in earthly realms, how much more do you think your Father's willing to do from heaven? So while we're getting ready to go, I want you to know God wants to bless you in your sickness, your upcoming court case, you're looking for that job, you're praying for your marriage, praying for your children, praying for that loved one that's serving in the military, you're praying for that son or daughter that has not called home, you're praying for that situation that's gotten well past midnight. God wants to bless you. In fact, I remember God saying that he would hear and answer our prayers. Somebody in this room, you've been asked by a friend, a neighbor, even the stranger, pray for me. They didn't give you all of the details, but they had that look on their face. Their countenance said trouble, anxiety, concern. Some of us haven't been sleeping very well. got some things on our mind that we just can't shake. Prayer's going to fix that. I believe that I can pray myself right into a good night's sleep. As Grandma was right, that just a little talk with Jesus make everything all right. Where you're standing right now, those just standing around, maybe you want to grab a loved one by the hand. Maybe you just want to touch the stranger. Maybe you just want to lift your hands. Maybe you just want to go in by yourself. But it's prayer time. And I just believe that this is your moment to be honest with God, to realize that God still loves you and there's a fix for your condition, the condition of your family, condition of your friends. And you can go back this afternoon or tomorrow or whenever you see them again and say, I prayed for you. And I know God's going to do what's best for you. Let me help you to understand something. Some of us get frustrated because God don't answer our prayers as we specify them unto God. God's not obligated to mess up his will for your life so you can be happy about your life. The lesson is his will be done. And sometimes we're just a little off center of where God wants us to be. And so when we're praying, we have to pray, Lord, you know what's best for me. And God don't have no problem with you making your request known. But God ain't going to mess up your life trying to bless your life according to how you want it to be done. I would rather be in the will of God than have 10,000 foolish requests come near my door. One yes from God can be enough. So when you pray, just let his will be done. I learned, Dr. Corbett, to ask God to teach me and to nurture me and strengthen me to better understand his will when it does not meet up with mine. So I don't get an attitude with God. Because you don't want to have an attitude but so long with God. You can get away with it for a few minutes. But I would rather be in compliance than in disobedience. Because I didn't have my way. As we pray. Merciful God, our Father. You are the vine. We are the branches.